Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
Galatians chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 8. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but you are a son. And if a son, then you have become an heir of God through Christ. 8. How be it then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Now, when we didn't know God, we could offer our dreams, we could offer our money, we could subjugate ourselves to these things that are called gods without the capacity of a God. How much more now that we know God? God is asking us, now that you know me, the true God, what should you be doing? For instance, if you were dealing with a fake person before, thinking he was the real deal, you do everything. When you discover you were dealing with a fake person and get to know the real person, what do you do? First, you regret every dealings you had with the fake person. And now that you have come face to face with the real person, you want to do everything in the shortest possible time to impress and please the real person. Praise God. And so God is saying, when we didn't know him, when we were still ungodly, we could offer to gods that are not actually God. Now that you know me, what's your attitude? 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10 to 16. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10 to verse 16. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. The next verse. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. I'd like you to take note of this. David is saying this. He said, everything that is in the heaven and everything that is in the earth, including the ones that is in your possession and custody, everything that is in the heaven is thine. So is there anything you are having that you are feeling so difficult to let go? Is it everything? Now, including the one basin of garri you just bought a few hours ago. Is it everything that is in the earth is thine? Where are we now? Are we in the earth now? So everything is thine. So including you and I, we belong to God. So that means everything we have belongs to God. So that means that God has the right to demand for what is his own. How many of us will have to take permission to wear our own clothes? Praise God. You have your clothes in the wardrobe or in your bag, and every time you want to wear it, you are looking for who to take permission from to wear the clothes. No, you don't need permission. You just get the clothes there and wear them and come. Friends may not like it. It is your own. You just wear them. And so if we belong to God, he doesn't need to do so much. Pamper us so much. Show us many, many dreams before we can just begin to obey him. Praise God. I saw God in the dream. He's telling me, if you don't give this 1,000, I'm going to kill you. Pastor, that's why I brought it. I brought the 1,000 so that I can stay alive. No, God don't need to threaten us. You don't need all of those fire and brimstone. He said, everything in heaven is thine. Everything in the earth is thine. He said, thine is the kingdom. He was talking about the kingdom that he was king over. He said, thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Next verse. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now this is a man that has an understanding of the personality of God that is talking. The next verse. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. 14. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. Now, after they have offered so much to God, I like David, I pray to be like him. That at no point in his life has he considered he has done too much for God. Like some people would do, and they get back home and find themselves and say, with this offering I've offered, I can rest for 1 year now. Even if I don't offer any other thing for the next 1 year, God understands. Praise God. David said, who am I? Who are my people to have offered so willingly? He said, because everything come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. So David was telling God, even what I have given to you is still your own. Praise God. Can you begin to give yourself a new orientation? That when next you are dropping that offering in the offering box, you are not thinking that you have done God so much favor. That you are thinking, God, what I'm giving to you, I'm just giving you back what belongs to you. And you can humble yourself and go and sit down. So that even if you drop 1 million naira check there, you just humble yourself. You go and find where and sit down. You don't need it to be announced, because you know what I have given belongs to you. Hear me. When you give me what belongs to me, I'm not obligated to tell you thank you. Amen. So if I tell you thank you, it's a bonus. I give you my clothes to wear, and then you finish wearing it, you are returning it to me. Are you expecting that I'm going to say thank you? I'll just collect my clothes, and maybe I just check whether you wore it well or whether you have done something bad with it. It is you that will thank me again. Amen. So that's the attitude God wants us to have. Even when you are able to offer him, you say, thank you for allowing me to offer you. Thank you for accepting it from my hands. Sometimes we watch in movies, sometimes some of us have seen it live, when a native doctor goes to the sea, or people go to offer sacrifices, and maybe they threw the fowl or the goat inside the sea, and before you know, the thing sink and doesn't come out, and they begin to jump. Oh, our God have accepted our offering. What a joy. They are not thinking about the loss of goat. They are not thinking about the money that they used to buy the fowl. They are in a celebrative mood because what they offered has been accepted. And that's the orientation, the mindset God wants us to have in giving to him. That he's not a beggar sitting somewhere in one corner of the heaven and making his hand like this, just give me to survive, just give me to survive. No, he's not a beggar. Verse 15. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding, none lives forever. Verse 16. O Lord our God, all this store that we are prepared to build thee an house for thy own holy name cometh of thy hand, and is all thy own. Amen. Let us look at perspectives and meaning of first fruits. Perspectives and meaning of first fruit. Number one, the word first fruit means the following. The word first fruit means the following. A, beginning. The word first fruit could mean the following. Now, we're going to look at it in the light of different things in terms of human, animal, money, place, things, materials. The word first fruit means the following. Number A, it means beginning, start. Number B, it means first. The word first fruit means First, it also means chief. See, it means chief. C-H-I-E-F, chief. D, it means the choice part. The word first fruit also means choice part. I said from the beginning, the word first fruit means four things amongst others. Number one, it could mean the beginning. Number two, it could also mean the first. Number three, it could also mean the chief. Number four, it could also mean the choice part. The choice part. The juicy part. The good part. So, these four words provides us with a clue as to what the first fruit offering entails. The first two words shows that first fruit is the beginning, or the first blessing, or the first income that God gives to us. Whereas the last two shows that first fruit is the chief or the choicest part of our harvest. So it could mean the beginning, the first income, the first profit, the first increase that God gives to us. It could also mean the choicest part of what we have, the best part, the chief part of our offerings. For instance, if you have 10 oranges and you split them into three areas. If you are going to divide oranges into three parts, 10 oranges into three, definitely one part is going to have four and the other part will have three each. So of the three parts, the one that has four is the choicest part, the chief part. That part belongs to God. As we progress, we see some details. Now, this implies that the first fruit offering is the chief of all offerings. It has the highest rank or office. It is of a great importance and commands great influence. First fruit offering is the chief of all offerings. It is the chief, the top rank offerings in the categories of offerings that God expects from his children. Friends, it is my wish and my prayers that just like we learn faith and apply faith, that as we learn this, we also apply it so that we can appropriate the blessings and the benefits of it in our lives as God's children. And let me say this to all of us. It has never been easy for anyone to obey God. Everyone who obeyed God was courageous. If you are going to obey God, you will need a lot of courage. Abraham, leave your father's house, leave your people, leave your kindred, follow me. And Abraham followed. Reading that scripture, you would think it was such an easy decision for Abraham to have left everything he had known for years to start moving. But if you read in between the lines, you will notice that Abraham's father followed him, that Lot followed him. But the language of the instruction did not include Abraham's father. The tone of the instruction didn't include Lot. But something tells me that when Abraham was about to leave, there was so much argument that his father said, "You are my first son, you won't go anywhere." And Abraham said, "I'm going to leave." And Terah said, "Rather than leaving, then let everybody go. We can't watch you leave." And so you can imagine the pain in Abraham's heart. And the Bible said Terah, his father, died on the road. Praise God. So that man was not healthy to move. But he had to move. So it wasn't a pleasant thing for Abraham to move his father that was not healthy and strong to move.
But he had to obey God. He just had to obey God. And so when it was looking as if he's going to delay, he said, okay, everybody that wants to come, come. One thing I'm sure is that I'm not staying here. And so Lot followed, Terah followed, and they're on their ways. Meet every man that have obeyed God, they will tell you that they paid a price to obey him. And it is the price of obedience you pay that determines the benefit that comes with you. Peter couldn't have said to Jesus, what then shall be our benefit? We that have left houses, we that have left fathers and mothers and children and wives to follow you. Now that tells you that even though they were following Jesus everywhere he went, they were still human beings. The pain of separation was still in their heart. But the gain of staying with Jesus was greater than the pain of separation. So even though it pained them, they would still forgo the pain and kept on following. So everyone will have to give something. Now why I'm stressing this is because if you are going to do everything that God wants you to do, then you must be ready to put your feet down and said, well, the Bible says it, so I'm going to do it. So it implies that the first fruit offering is the most top ranked offerings that we give. From the meanings above, it is obvious that first fruit offering is the act of giving to God the first income that comes to you every year. First fruit offering, therefore, can be defined as the act of giving to God the first income that comes to you every year. My salary is 20,000 every month. The first salary I'm going to get in every new year, I give it to God. What a demand. Praise God. Now, God, do you understand what you are asking? That even before my salary comes, I'm already indebted. That's the more reason you need to give God the first fruit offering. You see, when you give him the first, he takes care of the rest. It's only that we have not come to the point where we believe that God can actually preserve us without our salaries. Let me say this to you. In covenant, the quality of your life is not supposed to be a function of how much you earn. The quality of your life is supposed to be a function of God's provision. Now, God clearly showed that in the wilderness. For 40 years, those guys didn't need to change their sandals. For 40 years, they were putting on one cloth, and yet there was no need for change. How many of you can put on one cloth for 1 week? Amen. So that means God was doing washing, drying, and setting on their body. Every day, while they are asleep, he washes the cloth, dry it, and set it for them. And they wake up and the thing is looking good. 40 years, they didn't develop blisters on their feet, but they were walking constantly around the wilderness. You know, there are some people that earn 500,000 every month, but every month they pay up to 300,000 in the hospital for medical bills. Praise God. But you know that you can earn such money and yet you don't fall sick one day. So the money is kept. That's where God comes in. That the quality of your life is increasing, but the expenses of running your life is decreasing. You are earning 1 million per month. You have 4 children and all of them are under scholarship. Amen. Now that's what God can do. You have the money to pay their school fees in any school, but yet God still doesn't allow you to pay their school fees. He puts them perpetually under scholarship to preserve what is in your hand. See, it is only a man whose expenditure is far lesser than his income that can grow and become rich. The Bible says Isaac grew and continued to grow and worked strong until he became great. So if you are earning 100,000 and you spend every month 80,000, what you are earning is 20,000. That's where God comes in.
Is somebody understanding anything? So first fruit offering is therefore that income offering to God, the act of giving to God, the first income that you receive on a yearly basis. For instance, your first salary, your first profit in business, the first gift item, both cash and kind, that you receive as you enter into a new season of your life or a new year. That's why most times we celebrate our birthdays and buy drinks for our friends, but we never give to God anything. Amen. Now, the last person we remember is God in our birthday arrangement. But every time you enter a new season of your life, you just got married, God expects something. That's a new phase. That's a new season. That you plant something to God and say, God, this is what I'm giving in this my new phase. That's the practice God taught the children of Israel how to live. And that's how they are living till now. Praise the Lord. Amen. A new month, a new social, a new marital, a new political, financial, official, professional, or religious status. The first of your increase in any of this field is what we call first fruit. Genesis chapter 4 verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings. Now take note of the word firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. He brought of the firstlings. The firstlings. Now, this was the first time that the word offering is appearing in the Bible. It is the first offering time in the Bible, and only two persons were in church: Cain and Abel. Brother Cain and Brother Abel were in church the first time they needed to give offering. Both of them gave something. However, Abel's offering was a first fruit offering. So God received it and had respect unto Abel's. But Cain's offering was not a first fruit offering, so it was not received. So God is interested in your first fruit offering more than any other offering that you would ever give to him. He's interested in it. Can you do that for me? Can you practice that for me? Can you begin from November to plan for your first fruit offering in January? And said, I know that my salary in January is not my own, so let me manage November and December so that I won't be needing transport by January, because that salary in January is not my own. It is God's own. Most times, only those who earn small salary give first fruit. Praise God. The salary is 5,700. They say, God, it's not even enough anyway. So even when I used to receive it, it's like I didn't receive anything. Take them. Those who are earning 200,000 say, God, this will be too much for your mouth. This is too much now, God. 200,000. I mean, I just dropped my 200K like that. God, don't worry, let me pay tight. I'll just give you 10% and manage them. Amen. And God said, okay, I'll allow you to manage the 90%. And no man can be a better manager than God. If you allow him to manage it for you, your 5 loaves and 2 fish can always give you an extra. But if you want to manage it yourself, you won't even be able. You will always be having need for a factory load of bread. And even when you have it, you will still be saying it will not be enough. Praise God. Peter and his friends said, even 1 year salary, if we bring it and buy bread, it will not be enough. That's the frustration of doing something by your own, with your brain, for yourself, by yourself, through yourself. That's the frustration. And all of us know the way we calculate our salary now. Before the thing comes, you don't crack brain. You calculate until you begin to have migraine headache. Praise God. Some of us, this vein that is running here is because of too much calculation. You calculate and calculate. Have you ever been in the position, or been in that position, where we just finished eating while we were growing up, and the meat that my mother put in the soup is barely enough for one person, but we have to divide it by five, and I'm the one dividing it? You know the frustration you have. Praise God. Then you have to divide the fish by five. You know, sometimes when you put fish in the soup, you can open it into two, this side and this side. And sometimes it was too bad that not even one full fish, it's even quarter. Bam. You divide it into four. And then five persons will separate. And so I'm sharing, I'm licking my hand. And my younger ones are saying, why must you be licking your hand? Just keep your hand steady and share the thing. Amen. Now that's the frustration you have when you have to calculate with your salary. It is barely enough. No, just barely enough. Peter said, even if we have to gather all the bread, it will not be enough. But Jesus himself, he knew what he was going to do. He said, don't worry, the five loaves, I'm going to make it to be enough. Can I shock you? How many of us believe that God can sustain you without spending your salary for 2 months? Do you know it's possible? Very possible. Praise God. Everything that you need can be provided, and you are not peeping at your salary. It is only God that can make it happen. But can we practice Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. Can we practice that? Can we put our life in the balance and say, God, I'm leaving it to you. If I'm going to trick, let me trick. If I'm going to beg, let me beg. But this month's salary is yours. Let Satan be put to shame. So God is interested in our first fruit offering. First fruit offering has to do with the first of everything or anything you acquire in life. It belongs to God and must be surrendered to God. Let's read these following scriptures. Exodus chapter 13, verse 1 to 2. It has to do with the first of everything. It belongs to God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, sanctify unto me all what? The firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Now, this is very clear. So God is saying, as you just have that job now, that first salary is what? Is mine. In case you didn't hear it like that before, hear it now. He said, it is what? Is mine. And you are in trouble when you eat the food that belongs to the gods. How many of you have eaten the gods' food before? You know that people dread whatever is sacrificed to God. I don't know about now, civilization has changed things a little bit. But those days, no matter how you feel like drinking Fanta, you are just passing, you see a shrine, and then there's egg there, there's Fanta there. No matter how hungry you are, you will look outside, you will just look aside. They say, leave that in trouble. Praise God. But why are you eating what belongs to the gods? They say, men that eat what belongs to the God, they end up having swollen stomach. And when you eat whatever belongs to God, people will know in a matter of time, because the way your stomach will be swelling, somebody will say, this person has eaten a food that was meant for the spirit. And some of you, your fat stomach now is because of too much of first fruit you have taken. Amen. God says, it's mine. It's mine. Sanctify it. It is mine. Somebody say, it is mine. Praise God. And you know what that means? You can fight for what is your own. You can tear your shirt for it. And God said, somebody's eating what is mine here. That first month salary is mine. That increase in your salary is mine. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 to verse 16 of Exodus 13. that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males, shall be the Lord's. Verse 13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this, that thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. 16. And it shall be for a token upon thy hand, and for frontlets between thy eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Let's see a New Testament of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Praise God. So even God himself offered his son as a first fruit. And so God said, every man in his own order, those who are working, those who are selling, every man in his own order, even as Christ, the first fruits of the kingdom, God offered him, and then he gained the whole world. Praise God.